In the 1920s, there were two single ladies, Miss Mills and Miss Thomas, teaching Sunday school in a little Bible church in Lomita, California. They wanted these young people to become Christians, and they wanted these young people to get into the Word. They had a program of memorizing Scripture. The young people were divided into two groups, I think the Reds and the Blues or something like that. And so Miss Mills and Miss Thomas gave them 10 verses to memorize, and these 10 verses were on the gospel. And many of the verses that we have in our topical memory course were in those 10 verses. And just in case someone memorized those verses, they had 10 other verses on growing in Christ, which would be 20 verses. Doss Trotman was a young man riding a motorcycle in that part of the world. He had a job in the lumber yard. He was about 20 years old. And he had gotten in trouble with the police. And so he got out of it. And then a second time, a third time, he got in trouble with the police. The police picked him up. He was frightened that he might go to jail. And he told the Lord in a prayer, he said, "Lord, if you get me out of this, I'll go to church." Dawson Trotman's mother was a Pentecostal lady, and she went to church. Doss never cared much for the Pentecostal movement, but he respected and loved his mother very much. And so the policeman that night scolded him and gave him a pass on that. And so he realized he had to keep his promise. So he went to this little Bible church where Miss Mills and Miss Thomas were teaching. And so he joined there's a fella in charge of one group and a girl in charge of another. And so he joined the group where the girl was in charge because she was the prettiest. He inherited a job of memorizing 10 verses on the gospel. Well, he often said, "I didn't know how church people did things, so I went ahead and memorized my verses." And so here he had his 10 verses next week. Showed up, and he was the only kid in the class that could quote the verses. And so Miss Mills and Miss Thomas was prepared, and so she gave him 10 other verses. Well, he had these 20 verses in his heart. And he's going to work early one morning to the lumber yard, and these verses were in his mind. You know, the scripture says, "As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." So he had these verses in his heart. And so he thought the verses, you know, "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And he thought, "Yeah, well, that's sure me for sure. I qualify there, you know. The wages of sin is death." He began to think on those verses. "Huh, one day I'm going to die. The wages is death." Yeah. Well, you know. "And it is appointed on the men once to die, but after this, the judgment." Huh? One day I'll be judged. So as he meditated on the gospel verses, he decided to accept Christ as his Savior. And the Lord came into his life. Well, he kept going over these 20 verses that he had memorized, and they encouraged him. And his life began to change. He worked in the lumber yard, and he told one of the fellows that he was a Christian. And there was a man that came to do evangelism at the lumber yard every Friday. Every Friday noon, he would get up and preach. He had a lumber pile, and the workers would be around eating their lunch. They carried their lunch in those days, and they would be eating their lunch, acting as if, of course, they'd weren't listening. And so Doss was a man of about 140, 145 pounds, and they called him Porky because he was so little and thin. And so he told this friend of his that he was a Christian, and so this friend told the gentleman, the evangelist that came to preach to the lumberyard workers. And so the evangelist contacted Doss and says, "Hey, man, give your testimony next Friday, you know." So he was pinned down to give his testimony. So the word got around, Porky's going to preach. And so the entire lumberyard showed up. Porky's going to preach. So Doss got up and gave his testimony in front of all of his mates. Well, that was the beginning of his life. Well, he went back to church. Well, they gave him a job teaching Sunday school. And there were six little boys, 10, 12 years old. And he didn't keep order. It was a ruckus that first Sunday. And this next week, he was so disappointed because he didn't do a good job teaching Sunday school. And he asked the Lord, he said, "Lord, I'm so sorry what happened Sunday. Lord, you made little boys. Give me some ideas on how to keep order." Well, the Lord began to give him ideas, and he kept order. And the kids enjoyed it. And other kids came. And the Sunday school class built up, and Doss decided, well, if they really mean business, these kids, I'll start a Bible class. So he started a boys club. And so it wasn't all that long till he had 200 boys in boys clubs. Well, then he had a problem. Think now what the problem was. He needed teachers. Well, the teachers would be young men. So now then the job came of contacting young men and instructing them and teaching them and encouraging them, recruiting them on how to handle little boys. So that was beginning of reaching young men. And he was doing a tremendous job. There was a lady in San Diego, had a lady friend in Long Beach area, Lomita area. And this Lomita area lady knew about what Doss was doing with the boys. And so she visited her friend in San Diego. And the friend in San Diego says, "You know, I'm really, really bothered, really troubled. My son has just joined the Navy, and he's a Christian. And I'm so concerned for him, because I hear these wild stories of wild sailors." And so this lady in Lomita, California, says, "Well, I have a friend that I think could help your son." So she got the address and she contacted Doss, and so Doss wrote this sailor. His name was Les Spencer. They made an appointment. They didn't have phones and contact in those days. And so they made an appointment. And so Doss went out to the ship to landing dock, and Les came off and they met. And Doss was going to take Les home so they could have some fellowship. And en route home, they got to talking about the Word. And so Les was asking Doss questions, and they needed to look up a verse. So Doss pulled over to the side of the road, and there was the street light there, and they were looking at the New Testament, looking at a verse. And they stopped right in front of a school area where there was a security guard. And the security guard came along and shined his light in the car, and he says, "Where's the whiskey, fellas?" And during Prohibition days, about 1932, 33. And they said, "Sir, we don't have any whiskey. We're talking about the Scriptures, talking about a verse in the Bible." And so they chatted with the security guard for briefly, and he said, "Well, it's always been a puzzle to me. Actually, I never understood it. Always wished I could meet someone who could explain it to me." And so Doss said, "Well, I'm talking to the sailor right now." And Les said, "Go ahead and talk to him, Doss." And so they started talking. And so the security guard invited them over to a porch area where there was a light. And so they went over there, and Doss began to go over the gospel with this security guard. And this security guard was interested. Doss asked him, would he like to commit his life to Christ? And he said, yes, he would. So he led the security guard to Christ, right there. And so he and Les got in the car and started off back home. And Les was kind of quiet. He said, "Doss," he said, "that was a marvelous thing you did tonight. Doss, I'd give my right arm if I could do what you did." Doss said, "No, you wouldn't." Yeah, I would too. He said, "No, you wouldn't." He said, yeah, I wouldn't. Doss said, "No, you wouldn't." Les looked at Doss. He said, "Doss?" He said, "Yeah." "I said I would." Doss said, "Les, you can do what I did tonight. It won't cost you right arm. It'll cost you, but it won't cost you right arm." So they went home, and Doss began to lay on Les's heart as they would meet weekly, time to time. Les, pray that God will give you a man. See, so weeks went by, and a couple of months went by, and one day Les came out to Dawson's home, and he says, "Doss, I got a fella. Boy, I think he's ready. I really do, Doss. Give it to him." Doss said, give him what? Doss was a past master at acting stupid. "You know, give it to him. Give him what, Les? You know, help him." Help him what, Les? "You know, Doss, help him in the Bible. Help him in the Word. Help him grow." Doss said, "Les, you help him. Me help him. I can't help him." He said, "Les, if you can't help Gurney," this kid's name was Gurney Harris, "if you can't help Gurney, I have failed." He pushed him in the room, closed the door. Les began to help Gurney. And they began to help all the fellows. Those first five fellows got out of the Navy before World War II, went to college, and four of them went to the foreign mission field. The fifth one was a professor at Multnomah School of the Bible in Oregon. By World War II, there was 1,000 men aboard ships and army bases by the time of Pearl Harbor. Doss often says the navigator's work began when Les Spencer said, "I said I would." I came along during World War II. Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor on the 7th of December. I joined the Navy on the 10th, and I was at sea the latter part of January and the first part of February. They ran us through boot camp out to the front. I caught my ship in Pearl Harbor, and that's where I met the fellows, as I've shared with you. They got me started in the Word. And so I had the Bible to memorize all during my time down in the South Pacific, Guadalcanal and those areas, the Solomons. New Hebrides. And I was the only man, Christian, aboard ship. And I thought that I was wasting my time, and this was prohibiting me from being trained for the ministry. But in the midst of this time, I realized, no, this is not an interruption to my training. This is my training. And there's where I saw living the life. 1 Thess 2:8, for so being effectually desirous of you, we're willing to have imparted unto you, not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us. 2 Timothy 2:2 says, 2:1, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who should be able to teach others also. Then it's interesting, Paul didn't say, now son, I want you to hurry up and get your education out of the way so you can get off to seminary and study Greek and Hebrew and you know. He says, no, you watch me. In Philippians 4:17, brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk, so have ye of us for an example. He says, you follow me, and when you find a fellow following me, follow him. You see, we don't like to say that nowadays. We don't like to say, well, if you want to know how it's done, watch me. I've told you these stories, but when I was learning my apprenticeship, working with a black man by the name of Obie, he was a jolly fellow, great big huge guy, and had hands about half again as wide as mine, and he could take those little old bricks and lay them right to the line, you see. Lay them right to the line. I learned how to lay brick by watching Obie, imitating Obie. And as I imitated him, I got to where I could lay to the line. You know, the scriptures uses that expression. Judgment also will I lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet, and hail to sea sweep a refuge of lies, and water shall overflow to hiding place. In building, you have a plumb. You hold it right this, and that plumb goes straight up and down. It points toward the center of the earth. And you have two leads, and you pull a line. You lay them to the line. You lay them to the line. That's an expression that's used there. I learned by watching Obie. I learned in my cabinet shop by watching my uncle. I watched him. Then I'd imitate him. That's what the Navigator movement is about. Is about teaching one man and helping him live the life so that others can watch him and do it like he does it, you see. You know, the coach may not be the best player. He might not have been the best player when he was playing, but he shows you how to block, see, or he shows you how to catch the ball. Watch him, imitating. My ship eventually pulled into San Francisco, and that's, I was at the Servicemen Center one day, talking to a sailor, nav contact, and he says, I said, what you got on this evening? It was a Sunday. He said, well, actually, I'm going out to hear Doss preach. Oh, I says, is he in town? He says, yes. He's preaching a little church out here at Havens Cove Colonial Bible Church. I said, do you mind if I go? He said, not at all. So we caught the bus and went out. And I heard Doss preach. I was so infatuated with the way he quoted the Bible and the way he knew his way around in the scripture. I was really taken. Afterwards, I went up and introduced myself. and told him my ship was in San Francisco and so on. And so that's where our acquaintance began. And so I would spend time with him whenever he'd come up to the Bay Area, as long as my ship was there. Got out of the Navy, went to school for a couple of years. During that time, I would catch the train down to Los Angeles to have time with Doss. It's 9 hours on the train from San Francisco to Los Angeles. I'd catch the train down and spend the weekend with Doss and then catch the train back during my Navy days and also during my school days. One day when he was up, before I got out of the fleet, I've told you this story. I'll repeat it for some. We were out on the lawn, and he said, "Johnny, what's the Lord been teaching you these days?" Well, that was a code word when the navigator asked you, "What's the Lord been laying on your heart these days?" That was code for quoting your last three verses. So I quoted my last three verses, and, you know, well, what's the Lord been teaching me? You know, you can't deny that. And he said, "John, after the conflict, what you got on your heart?" I said, "Oh, I don't know, Doss. Maybe go back to Alabama and go back to school and tie in with the Southern Baptist." He thought that would be all right, really. Also thought about youth work, you know. And I said, "You know, Doss, if you don't get them young, you don't get them." I marvel at the deep things I've told my elders through the years, you know. You know, I'm so embarrassed. You know, he said, "You know, John, if you disciple one man, he could become a pastor, and you could become a youth worker, be two places at one time." We talked further. And he talked about missionary work. I said, "Doss, what I really would like to be is a missionary." He said, "You know, John, if you disciple two fellas, one could be a pastor, one could be a youth worker, you could be a missionary. Be three places at one time." Then he rolled up on his elbow. We were out on the lawn there, and Lake Merritt in downtown Oakland. And as if he thought of it for the first time, he said, "You know what, Johnny? If you never figure out just what you ought to do, you can spend your whole life raising up disciples and sending them all over the world." So I tell my friends, I've never figured out what I'm supposed to do. I spent my entire life raising up disciples, one at a time, three or four at a time. And they're not all over the world. They really aren't. We don't have anybody in China. We have one in Russia. The South Pacific, the rim of the Pacific, United States. Some have passed on. But it really is a thrill to get letters from guys who have a tremendous ministry, greater than mine, that was raised up in our home. It's absolutely fantastic. Raising up spiritual children. And there's an organization now, the Navigators. We have new staff. We have to be guided now by the rules and the regulations of the Internal Revenue, for the government. When I came on, we just came aboard, you see. But we comply with this. And I meet a lot of the new staff. And I say, "Now, let me help you with something." I tell them, "You haven't asked me, but I'll help you anyway. If you join the Navigators organization, there's a good chance you're going to be disappointed. But if you go in the Navigator's movement, there's no way you can be disappointed. There's no way you can be fired. Because you're working in a movement, you see. And so you fellows are working in a movement. And by the way, it's such a pleasure to be with you. It's just such a privilege. The other day, somebody said to my son, he said, what's your dad doing? Well, he's doing what he likes to do most, preaching to a group of young guys. See? And that's what I like to do most. The only thing that would make me any more thrilled is if you were in uniform. I think servicemen is my first love, and you'll give me that privilege, I'm sure. I just praise God for you. Praise God for Mark and for all of you that you have on your heart raising up disciples to go all over the world. You say, but John, you said a while ago when you were a kid you were entertainer and all such as that. And John, that's not my personality. I have to work at meeting folks. Well, work at it then. You know, no problem. Whatever you have to work at it. Yeah, you know. But John, I don't know if I can. Fella called me some months back. He said, John, I've only led two fellas to Christ in 5 years. And the last one I led to Christ was killed on the job, construction work. And I tried to console him, cried with him. Later I got to thinking, two fellas in 5 years. How long does a fella have to work? Minimum 40 years, you know, 40 years. Suppose you only reach two guys in 5 years. This is higher mathematics now, I'm going to go over you. 5 into 40 is 8. 2 to 8, 16. So when you get up there and you say, St. Peter, I'm sorry, sir. I only got 16 men. You think he's going to scold you? Fellas, you think he's going to scold you if you just have 16 men? Suppose we have less than that, you know. And the things that thou have heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. I'll retell two quick stories. I went aboard ship, and the fellows made fun of me because I was a believer. In the mess hall one day, I had a Catholic buddy who would tell me everything that was going on behind my back. And so the fellows were having fun and making jokes. Chief Petty Officer came in and he said, knock it off, man. He said, the kid just got aboard ship. We'll see what he's made of. 3 years later, we had been down through the war and all back and come back to San Francisco. I came out of the mess hall and had a cup of coffee. I'd had taken a shower and come around. And this chief, never talked to him, never witnessed to him. He said, Crawford. I said, yes, chief. He said, when you get out of the Navy, you still going to be in the ministry? I said, yes, Chief, I don't know if I'll be a pastor or not, but perhaps a missionary. Yes. Crawford, I think you'll make a good one. That's what we want to live for. I was 19 years old. I wasn't a believer. During my apprenticeship with a fellow that my father assigned me to, Mr. Lamb, was doing trim work. Mr. Lim didn't talk much, except when he scolded me. And was going to work. There's a beautiful farm. White buildings and windmill, gorgeous farm. We passed there, and I was passenger. He says, "Son, there lives a Christian." We drove on to work. I saved about a year or a few months later. This gentleman's name was Mr. Whitten. I met Mr. Whitten. He was county Sunday school superintendent. Very, very fine Christian. Mr. Whitten lived such a life that my old drinking foreman, he and I had our beer together, said, "Son, there lives a Christian." And that's what we want to do, fellas. We want to live that kind of a life. Let me pray for us. Father, we thank you now for this good time together. Father, give us a good time in our small group now. In Jesus' name, amen.